So I'm going to talk about some issues related to mirror symmetry, or more precisely to the homological mirror symmetry conjecture by Kontsevich. And this is based mostly on some work which is very unfinished, work which I did with, which I'm doing with Dima Orlov from Stiklov Mathematical Institute. So so far we don't have any complete results, just some observations, and that's what I'm going to talk about. So first let me remind what this homological mirror symmetry conjecture is, even though there was some mentioning of this before in lectures by Paul Aspinwall. So suppose suppose we have two Kalabiyaus which are mirrored to each other. So in physics, Kalabiyau always comes equipped with a Keller form, so I'll write it, this is a triple. So a real smooth manifold, complex structure in it, and the Keller form. And suppose I have a mirror pair, which means that n equals 2 superconformal field theories corresponding to these two Kalabiyaus are isomorphic as n equals 1 superconformal field theories, but on the level of n equals 2 generators, the identification, the isomorphism is sort of a twist, is a so-called mirror involution. So I want to explain that, so you can find it in many papers. So these two, so basic point is that as n equals 1 superconformal field theories, they are the same. So we have this mirror pair, and for each to each of these Kalabiyau manifolds, you can associate two topological field theories, two two-dimensional topological field theories called the A model and the B model, as discussed in detail by Paul in his lectures. So we have an A model, and the B model, which are some topological field theories. And we also have an A model and B model corresponding to the other Kalabiyau. And mirror symmetry identifies, says that the A model of the first Kalabiyau is isomorphic to the B model of the other Kalabiyau. And then the B model of the first Kalabiyau is isomorphic to the A model of the second Kalabiyau, if they're mirror. So, as you remember, the A model does not depend on the complex structure I on the Kalabiyau. So, so it actually depends on the symplectic manifold X omega. In fact, A model can be defined for any symplectic manifold, not necessarily Kalabiyau. So, and the B model on the other side doesn't depend on the Keller form omega, so it just depends on the Kalabiyau as a complex manifold. So this A model and B model are two-dimensional topological field theories without boundaries, but you can also introduce boundaries, and then you're getting open topological field theories corresponding to the A model and open topological field theories corresponding to the B model. And these are just the D-brains, topological D-brains corresponding to A model and B model. And usually they're called A-brains and B-brains, so which is short for A D-brain and B D-brain. So these brains, both A-brains and B-brains, they're not just a set, they actually form a category. So what is this category? Well, so this category is naturally encodes some geometric information about the Kalabiyau. Let's start with B-brains. As was explained by Paul in his lectures, B-brains are best thought of as objects of the derived category of X. Well, let's write as a pair, X and the complex structure in it. And three-point functions, three-point correlators, compute morphisms in this category, compositions of morphisms in this category. Well, that on the level of topological field theory is not a mathematically well-defined notion. But on the physical level of Frege, you can argue that that's what happens, right? So you can't say that there's a proof because, you know, B brains are not well-defined mathematically to begin with. But on the physical level of Frege, that's true. So essentially, it's a reinterpretation of topological field theory. So Paul explained in detail why he thinks that's the case, and by now I sort of got used to this statement. Okay. So how about A brains? So the answer was suggested by Kontsevich based on the prior work by Witten in 1993. So. Yes, yeah, that's right. But actually, it all happened before there were A brains and B brains. It's a bit problematic. Who first suggested? So, in fact, Witten invented brains before the topological D brains, before the word D brain was ever introduced. So it's actually an interesting historical situation. But so A brains are conjectured to be the same as objects of the Foucault category. Which was naturally introduced by Foucault, defined by Foucault. And three-point functions are, roughly speaking, the compute composition, composition of morphisms in the Foucault category. So, well, by now we got used to the derived category of the of an algebraic manifold. So what about the, well, but the Foucault category is less familiar. So so let me try to explain what the Foucault category is. And, well, I don't really have time to go into this because the definition is pretty complicated. And also it's not complete. So there are lots of subtleties which haven't been really understood. So the, strictly speaking, the Foucault category hasn't been quite defined. So there's a lot of work to be done. But so I mostly talk about the objects of the Foucault category rather than the morphisms. I just mentioned some things about the morphisms. So the objects, sort of in the zeroth approximation, the objects of the Foucault category are triples. A Lagrangian submanifold. We're starting with a symplectic manifold X, a priori without any complex structure. I'm not even Calabial, and then we have an object of the Foucault category is a triple, a Lagrangian submanifold in X, a complex vector bundle on this Lagrangian submanifold, and a flat unitary connection on this complex vector bundle. Now, so what is what's a Lagrangian submanifold? First of all, well, because there's some confusion there, for some reason, in terminology between physics and mathematical literature. So in the math literature, Lagrangian it means that the restriction of the symplectic form to the submanifold is zero, and the dimension of the manifold is half the dimension of the whole manifold X. So that is, if you say that you have some manifold such that the restriction of this of the omega symplectic form on the submanifold vanishes, then such submanifold is usually called isotropic. So Lagrangian means it's isotropic and has sort of maximal dimension, because an isotropic submanifold cannot have dimension larger than half of the dimension of X. So we have a Lagrangian submanifold and the complex vector bundle with a connection. Now, these are the objects in the zeroth approximation. and that's actually not quite true. I'll talk about it later, but the morphisms between two such objects in the Foucault category, they form a complex of vector spaces. So morphism is not just a vector space, it has a structure of a complex, so there's just a bunch of, well, some finite number of, it's a bounded complex with some differentials. Okay. Or if you prefer, you can think about the whole complex as a single vector space with a differential. So morphisms in the Foucault category is a differential graded vector space. Okay, so now what is this complex? How do you compute it? Well, I don't have time to explain how to compute this, how to define this complex in general. Let me just limit myself to one situation, to morphisms of an object, from an object to itself. So if I have, that is to endomorphism. So suppose I have an object like this, what are its morphisms to itself? So one takes the endomorphism bundle, of this vector bundle E, and there's also, well, this flat connection uses a flat connection on this bundle, and then you just take the Derham, well, you get, therefore, a twisted Derham complex from this flat connection. And you consider this twisted Derham complex is the complex that we're, which is the morphisms complex of the from an object to itself. So morphisms from an object to itself are made from this Derham complex, right? Just the Derham complex. Sorry, let me go on. Okay. And the differential, just the twisted Derham differential. Okay. For example, if we take a Lagrangian submanifold with a trivial, with a, say, one-dimensional vector bundle, which is trivial, has zero flat connection, then that just becomes the usual Derham complex. And now, there's certain subtlety related to the to morphisms. Well, I said Foucault category, but actually, the composition of morphisms in the Foucault category is not associative, so it's not really a category. But it becomes associative if instead of, you see, if, for any complex, you can compute it, well, given a complex, you can compute its cohomology. So if you replace the morphisms in the Foucault category just with their cohomologies, then the composition of morphisms will be associative, and then you get a true category out of the Foucault category. So therefore, instead of, in that version of the Foucault category, instead of this Derham complex, you must just take Derham cohomologies. Okay. So I didn't tell you how to define morphisms between different objects in the Foucault, yes? Yeah, well, well, I think there cannot be any corrections to this, but there are quantum corrections to to compositions of morphisms. In this case, I don't think there are any corrections. Sorry, D is usual Derham differential. In this, for case of endomorphisms, I think the composition, there are no any quantum corrections. That is, the composition is just composition and Derham, just wedge multiplication, cup product. The quantum.
By the Foucault category, you mean the thing which ought to be defined to agree with the physics of Hegel?
Yeah, okay, so this is. No. That's actually the whole point of this talk. So that's the sort of definition of the Foucault category.
It's like you said, zeroth approximation before, so that means.
So, okay, so the zeroth approximation is extracted from Witten's paper, essentially. So, but Witten, well, he didn't say that these were, well, he just started studying this category of A-brains, and that's why it's sort of zeroth approximation. So I'll argue actually that this should be serious, well, one should do serious modification to this picture to in order to assure a mirror symmetry, okay? That is, in particular, this actually is not true even a zeroth approximation, so there should be serious changes made. So now, okay, so is this the right definition? Well, it's, even in the original paper of Kantsevich, it's explained that there are lots of subtleties in this. Well, it's certainly not the complete definition. So, for example, well, I explained what the morphisms are from a brain to itself. I didn't explain what morphisms are from a brain to a different brain. And but this morphism must form a complex of vector spaces, so differential graded vector space. So there's how do we define this grading? Kantsevich explained that the grading is actually subtle to define. So in particular, not any Lagrangian submanifold is actually an A-brain. Okay, so one allows only graded Lagrangian submanifolds, and not every Lagrangian submanifold can be graded. So instead of giving a definition of a graded Lagrangian submanifold, just give an example, and also give an example. Yes.
Do you have any assumptions on the Lagrangian submanifold?
Meaning like special or no? In the topological field theory, that should. Involves, sorry, what? Well, I didn't talk about morphisms between different brains, so I won't talk about Fleur homology either. This difficulty with grading arises when you try to define exactly morphisms between different brains. So I didn't explain how it's done. And that's not the point of my talk. I just want to mention that there are some corrections to this picture. In particular, not every Lagrangian submanifold is actually a valid A-brain, because grading cannot be defined for any Lagrangian submanifold. So let me give an example of a very simple case what the problem can be. So so imagine the simplest Calabi-Yau, which is an elliptic curve. Let's imagine that, say, torus, the fundamental domain. And, well, what is Lagrangian submanifold? Well, just any one-dimensional submanifold will be Lagrangian. So let's take, say, a straight line. Okay, just winding the torus. So, what's the grade of this thing? Well, how to grade this Lagrangian submanifold? Well, this line has a slope, which takes values from 0 to pi, and grading is a lift of this slope to the whole real axis. So instead of defining it as a number from 0 to pi, you have to define it as a real number. And this additional information is the grading of the brain. Now, well, even if this line is not straight, but sort of wavy, that doesn't change much, the definition of the grading. But if you have a Lagrangian submanifold like this, well, it's Lagrangian, but sort of the slope changes, and you can't actually consistently define a grading for this brain. Okay, so such an such a Lagrangian submanifold, according to Kantsevich, is not a valid A-brain. Okay. Incidentally, I have no idea how to derive this constraint from topological field theory. If the conjecture is correct, the topological field theory is, corresponds to the Foucault category, this constraint that this brain is not allowed to somehow come out of topological field theory. I don't know how to do that. So. No, I just referred to Kantsevich's paper. It's explained there. I'm not actually going to focus on this grading problem. So because I'm not going to talk about, I just mentioned that there are some problems in this.
I mean,
in the example? Yes. Well, the grading doesn't. Okay, let me explain then. Okay, briefly, just how it works. So we have a bundle over a symplectic manifold whose fiber is made of Lagrangian. Let's go like this. We have a bundle over X whose fiber is just Lagrangian Grassmannian of the tangent space of X. Okay, and for Calabi-Yaus, there exists, so Lagrangian Grassmannian of a vector space has a fundamental group Z, and it has a universal cover. And for Calabi-Yaus, there is a sort of universal covering bundle whose fiber is, which covers this one, and whose fiber is the universal cover of the Lagrangian Grassmannian. And a grading means the following. So grading means the following. So if you have a Lagrangian submanifold, then you can associate Gauss map to it. That is, since the tangent to Lagrangian Grassmannian tangent to Lagrangian submanifold is a Lagrangian plane in a tangent space, we have a map from L to the restriction of this Lagrangian relative Lagrangian Grassmannian to L, and then you're asking whether there is a lift of this map here. Okay. There may not be a lift, and for this one, for example, there is no lift, and for this one there is. So grading is this lift of the Gauss map here. Okay. No, for this one there is no lift. Well, I don't have time to explain this. Right. Okay, so another subtlety, which again is a bit mysterious from the physical point of view. So Polishchuk and Zaslav proved this conjecture for the case of the elliptic curve, exactly for this case. So, but then they discovered that actually this connection cannot be a unitary connection, if you want mirror symmetry. Only its monodromy must have eigenvalues with absolute value 1, but you can't require it to be unitary if you want mirror symmetry. Now, from the physical point of view, it's very mysterious because in physics, we always assume that the bundle, the connection is unitary. So that's too restrictive. You won't get mirror symmetry this way. So I don't know how to get this again from physics, why the connection is not unitary. Also, well, I'm not sure what the right definition is in general, whether just for the elliptic curve that you must allow these non-unitary connections, or what is the generalization in general.
They only require that the eigenvalues of the curvature.
Yeah, but the problem is the physical, I don't understand why.
For the definition of the Foucault category, yeah. Definitely
do not. Yeah, they don't require that, but it's not clear. In physics, such bundles just never come up, non unitary ones.
Can we have some kind of higher reductions for the group?
Sorry?
Can we have some kind of higher
reductions
for the
group? Well, I'm not sure, but the connection is for sure flat, but whether it's unitary or not, then. It's just some condition which sort of, in physics, is sort of assumed that it's unitary, because otherwise quantization of the topological field theory doesn't make much sense, right? So I'm not sure how to relax this condition.
Okay, so the bundle should be flat, or it
doesn't
have to be
unitary? Yeah. Well, in the physical sigma model, it has to be unitary. So now you twist it, but it still remains unitary. So how to relax this is not clear. Yeah.
Some
well, zero section is fine.
No, but that's a dynamical field. It comes from being zero. So that sort of make up the other dimension
of the contact section. I'm not sure about this. Okay, So let me go on though. So okay, but again, it's not the focus of my talk. So there are all these problems, but I think I'm going to explain even a more basic problem. Namely, that Lagrangian submanifolds are not enough. That is, A-brains can be non-Lagrangian. They can have dimension higher than the middle dimension. And that takes you completely out of the Foucault category. Okay. So I'm not sure what the general definition then of an A-brain is. All I have is examples, more or less. And I don't have a definition which would encompass Lagrangian ones and non-Lagrangian ones. Okay. So. So the observation that A-brains do not have to be Lagrangian was already made in the one of the first papers on the subject by Olguri, Oz, and Yin, just as a side remark. So they remark that A-brains can have dimension, well, even have Kalabiyal, whose complex dimension is D, then Lagrangian, then the A-brain can have dimension, real dimension D plus 2n. Okay, so differs can differ from the middle one by an even number, positive even number, or non-negative even number. So if the if you assume that the curvature of the bundle on the A-brain is zero, then you immediately get to the Lagrangian brain. You immediately get that n is equal to zero, okay, and that the brain is Lagrangian. But if you do not assume that the curvature is vanishing, you do not get that the brain is Lagrangian. So what do you get? So that's exactly what we tried to understand with Dima and made some progress. That is, we have some examples of exotic A-brains, which are not Lagrangian, but first let me convince you that, these exotic brains with dimension higher than the middle one are absolutely crucial for mirror symmetry, that if you don't have them, you won't have mirror symmetry. So the example is the following. So let's take as our B-side, the following very simple Kalabiyal, if you wish. Take an elliptic curve. Oh, sorry for calling it E again. Take an elliptic curve and tensor it with it, multiply it by itself. So we get some a surface, complex surface. And let's ask ourselves, what are the possible B-brains for this complex surface? There are, of course, more precise, we'll just ask, what is the image spanned by B-brains in the K-theory or cohomology of this complex surface? Okay. So let's see. So of course, we have zero brains and four brains, and which corresponds to, and therefore we have corresponding second and sort of zero Tran class, the rank in the second Tran class. So certainly going to span H0 plus H4 of X. Now what about line bundles? So what are the possible Tran class, first Tran classes of line bundles? Well, for a B-brain, the first Tran class must be a 1-1, well, takes value sort of 1-1 cohomology, or more precisely in the intersection, since it's integer, takes values in the intersection of the 1-1 double cohomology and the integer cohomology. Okay. Now, what this intersection is depends on exactly what the complex structure on E is. Okay, so so if you take a generic elliptic curve, so what are the possible divisors? Well, you can take one of them as a divisor, one of the elliptic curves as a divisor. Take the other one, or can take the diagonal. And in general, that's all there is. Okay, so you have a three-dimensional. So this intersection is actually called the Neron-Severi group of X, well, tensored with this. So I'm going to tensor it with R or Q. So, and in general, this Neron-Severi is three-dimensional over real numbers. So in general, so this is going to be three-dimensional in general. So we have one dimension here. In general, you get five-dimensional subspace in the total cohomology of this manifold, and that's what the B-brains span in there. Okay, so the five-dimensional subspace in general. Now let's compare this to A-brains. So the mirror of this is just, again, it's a some symplectic four torus. Some complex structure which you can express in terms of the complex structure of E times E. And the A-brains, the Lagrangian submanifolds there, are two cycles. So the corresponding classes in cohomology are just their Poincaré duals. So the dimension of the second cohomology of X prime is 6. But since they're Lagrangian, they must be orthogonal to the symplectic form. Okay. Symplectic form is some vector in the second cohomology, and the Lagrangian brains span a five-dimensional subspace orthogonal to the symplectic form. Okay. So the dimension of subspace spanned by Lagrangian submanifolds in H in the cohomology is 5 for all symplectic structures. Okay, but here on the complex side, you can change the dimension of the neuron severity just by adjusting the complex structure on E. Okay. So what happens is the following. So how can I achieve this? Suppose E has a what's called a complex multiplication, which means that there is a that there is a homomorphism. So it's the following thing. So consider the following question: what are the homomorphisms of this E considered as an as a group, as an algebraic group? So in general, it's just multiplication by an integer. But well, sometimes there are more homomorphisms. Okay. Sorry. No, endomorphisms. Consider maps from E to E. Just
endomorphism.
Yeah. So in general, well, if you want to preserve group structure, then suppose I use the complex variable Z on the universal cover of E, and then the endomorphisms are just a multiplication by some complex number, okay? And, well, if you want an endomorphism, then Y should preserve the lattice. So E is C mod gamma, and you want Y to preserve the lattice. In general, the only allowed values of Y are just integers, okay? But for special lattices, you can have more endomorphisms, okay? And if you have more of them, then you say that the curve has a complex multiplication, that it has these extra complex numbers here, which induce endomorphisms. And now I can take the graph of these endomorphisms in this X, okay? The graph is some divisor in X, okay? And corresponding to this extra divisor, you can have an extra line bundle, okay? And if this happens, the neuron severity of X jumps. It has dimension 4 instead of, which is actually the total dimension of H11. I have dimension 4 now, okay? So then, if this happens, then the dimension of the subspace spanned by B-brains jumps to 6, okay, instead of 5. So an example of a curve with a complex multiplication is just the square torus, that is, when tau is equal to I. Okay, or so.
Doesn't it get worse also in the other direction? So you can deform E cross E to a complex torus without a product structure, or even worse, to a four torus with no complex. And then your neuron severity drops to rank 1 or rank 0. And the generic value in the complex structure module for the rank is 2.
Well, you see, in general, you'll have a B field on the other side. You have a B field on the other side in general. And when you have B field, the Lagrangian condition is not the right one. Okay. That is, there's additional constraint on the Lagrangian submanifold. The restriction of the B field to it should be vanishing. So it's more complicated in general, okay? But I'm just telling you that, yeah, so this computation is only valid when the B field is vanishing. Say for the case when tau is equal to I, the B field is vanishing. So this dimension which you computed is the actual dimension of the subspace spanned by A brains. But it's more important that the dimension can jump up rather than down, because you can see clearly that the Lagrangian submanifolds are just not enough. Okay, they can span at most a five-dimensional subspace. If there's B-field, there are less of them, fewer of them. And here you can go up to six dimensions. That's really the maximal dimension of the.
Should we be expecting some kind of Gassmannian-type-like connection connecting the A-brain from one place to another?
I'm not sure why. I'm sort of, yeah.
As you point out, the could it be that you have instead of a single Lagrangian representative a complex? Because as you point out, you know, we want to take the derived version of the Kaya categories.
No, but the objects. No, well.
The objects would be some.
No, it doesn't matter. On the level of churn characters, which we're discussing here, it shouldn't matter, right? We're just discussing the churn characters. So, it doesn't matter whether you have.
So, is the solution to add more A-brains or to kill some B-brains?
No. The solution is to add. Well, we're pretty sure that the derived category and, you know, is the right thing on the B side. Okay? No, the choice is made once you said that X has a certain complex structure, right?
Yeah, but the complex structure is not necessary for the physical.
That's true, yes.
If
yeah, but the twist, you must choose it, right?
Right, but the twist, so then it's not completely clear what makes
the tree fit. No, it's the topological field theory didn't rely on just a topological field theory, and we know that its deformations give you all, as Paul explained, give you the whole derived category. Okay. Now, by the way, in this case, you just look at this. You can just show that all these divisors I was talking about, they're all perfectly legal B-brains. You're actually even stable in this case. So there's no problem at all. They're actual physical B-brains. So they should be there, even in the physical theory. And there are just too many of them. You must have extra A-brains. Now, it will become clear in a second that increasing the number of A-brains is the right answer. I'm going to analyze now the A side and show that there are indeed extra A brains in the physical model, actually.
Anyway, just to come out, any case where E has complex complication and you have a torus of the form E cross E, it's absolutely the same physical model can be obtained by another torus which does not try to develop the curve of complex complication.
Yeah.
It's a simple business of twisting and rotating around the structure. And the physical model doesn't change. And maybe you're going to tell me that there's always a topological signal model with this choice.
No, this I don't understand. I'm just saying that for given a complex manifold, I have.
It doesn't depend on the complex structure. It's independent under hyperparallelization.
The physical model doesn't depend, of course.
But mirror.
Well, there's also ambiguity there. But the point is really the following: we can just boil down to mathematical statement, okay? That just Lagrangian submanifolds are not enough to have mirror symmetry. In the sense of Kantsevich, because the derived category has just more objects than the Lagrangian submanifolds can ever accommodate.
My only point is that maybe Kantsevich's form of mirror symmetry is too much to expect based on the physics in this situation.
Yeah, I don't think so. Actually, I'll show that there are extra A-brains in exactly the case. So A-brains, we don't have sort of a priori definition of an A-brain, unlike the case of B-brain, we sort of think that an object of the derived category is the right thing. So we have to turn to string theory to motivate what are these exotic A brains that we need on the other side. So Okay. So I claim the in the case which we considered, which is when X is four-dimensional, the allowed dimension of the A brain according to this equation is just 2 and 4. The two-dimensional brains are just Lagrangian brains, but we in principle also have four-dimensional ones that is wrapping the whole X. Okay, so plus some line bundle on them with some curvature. So therefore, an A brain can be also, at least judging from this formula, a line bundle on the whole X. Okay. Incidentally, for Calabi-Yau threefolds, for the genuine Calabi-Yau threefolds, we won't have this extra brains because then this formula tells you that the extra A brain must have dimension, real dimension 5, and there are no 5 cycles in a simply connected Calabi-Yau threefold to wrap around. But if you relax this simply connectedness condition, or say ask about Calabi-Yau fourfolds or about K3s, then you will have this extra exotic A brains. Okay.
Without considering that condition, would you then not find examples like this?
If it's simply connected, then you won't have them. But nobody really say if you consider six torus, that is complex dimension 3 torus, then I'll have again.
So you will?
I will. It's just that in the usual definition of Calabi-Yau, you assume that you require that it's simply connected. So okay. So now, what's the condition on the line bundle for it to be an A brain? Okay. So now I claim the condition is the following: take its curvature, which is some 2-form, multiplied by the inverse of the symplectic form, and this is going to be some tensor of type 1-1, and the condition is that this tensor be an almost complex structure. Okay. So this condition is sort of the analog of the B brain condition. You know, in the case of B brains, when they have a line bundle on the whole manifold, for it to be a B brain, the curvature has to be a form, 2-form of type 1-1. So that's sort of the A brain analog of that. So unlike the case of B brain, here the condition on F is nonlinear, which complicates the matters a lot. The first remark is that, well, this condition, I think, is true for X of arbitrary dimension. So if you want to have, if you have X of arbitrary dimension, an X of symplectic manifold, and if you want a line bundle on it to be an A brain, then this condition has to be satisfied. Okay. So I'm not sure if it's a sufficient condition, but it's certainly necessary. And you can see that it's a very strong condition, because the periods of the curvature are 2 pi I times an integer. Well, and my connotation is 2 pi times an integer. And so this condition in general cannot be satisfied. Okay, only that's for some special omegas, symplectic forms, you can have a line bundle satisfying this condition. Okay.
In the higher dimensional case, would you have the square there or the dimension?
No, in general, that's just a 1-1 tensor, and the tensor should be a complex, an almost complex, that's always the same, yeah. Well, in this case, it's all the same, right? It's the brain wraps the whole X. That's condition only for when... for Y... to be an A brain, if the real dimension, if y is only equal to x. Okay. So I'll mention what happens when y is not the whole x later on. But that's the condition when y just its brain wraps the whole x. Okay. Now this is condition for a single D brain. That is, the line bundle is, well, the bundle is supposed to have rank 1. I do not know the condition for higher ranks. Okay. Yes, I'll now show why where it comes from. But incidentally, this condition does resolve that puzzle for that particular example I told you about. Okay, so you get the right dimension of the subspace in the exactly when these guys exist on the A side, the dimension of neuron severity jumps on the B side. So once you include these guys into the story, that example becomes perfectly, well, there's no paradox anymore.
How do you describe exactly which
there are explicit formulas for omega in terms of the complex structure on that. I can show you later on. There are explicit formulas for this. For the case of a torus, it's very, for the case of tora in general, not just for torus, the formulas are very simple. There's an explicit map from complex structures to Kähler forms.
So you actually get quadratic number fields
based on that condition? Yeah. So, but you better ask Dima about this because I'm not an expert on this. So, okay, so what's about physics? Where did this condition come from? So, okay. So, as you remember from maybe Paul's lecture or from some other papers on D-brains, the boundary condition for a D-brain is formally determined on some reflection matrix, which connects the left moving modes, I guess you call it phi, and the right moving modes. So phi takes just a map from our string Rorschach to the target, so it's left moving part and right moving part, and on the boundary, they're related by some linear operator. Okay. And this is all in the physical model still. I'm going to do this. Okay. So what is R in terms of the, well, assume now that the brain has maximal dimension, that is, it wraps the whole Calabi-R. Then R is expressed in terms of the Kähler metric on the Calabi-R and the field strength on the brain like this. So here G is a symmetric bilinear form, and F is the antisymmetric form, which is the curvature of the, which is the connection, curvature of the connection on the brain. So that's how R is expressed through the metric, Kähler metric, and the field strength. And G is related to omega in the complex structure, to the symmetric form in the complex. I better express. Symmetric form in terms of G in the complex structure. So in omega has type 1-1 with respect to the complex structure I. Okay. Okay. Now, so that's some general boundary condition which defines the D brain. So what do we require of this condition if we want to get an A brain? Again, I think as was explained by Paul in some form, so on the Rorschach, you have two currents, left-moving current. There are also corresponding conditions for the fermions, left-moving and right-moving fermions. And let me just write them down then. So the left-moving fermion, and it's reflected to the right-moving fermion with exactly the same matrix R. That's required by n equals 1 supersymmetry. And then we want this boundary condition to preserve n equals 2 supersymmetry for it to be an A brain. That's actually equivalent to requiring that the U1 current is reflected to minus itself on the boundary. So the U1 current is the following thing. Oops, I guess I shouldn't have chosen I and J because here I is the complex structure. So let me just switch to small ones. This is the left moving current, and this is the right moving current. And it must be reflected, one should be reflected to the other one, but at the boundary, minus the other one, if you want to have A type boundary conditions. This means that R should satisfy this. Okay. Sorry?
You have capital I.
I guess I should have replaced it by, I just recall that they're denoted by capital I, the complex structure, so I guess I should have used the lowercase I's and J's everywhere. That was too lazy to change it everywhere. Okay. All right. So that's the condition. Actually, that's actually the only condition for the D brain to be A brain. For the B brain, for the sort of holomorphic ones, you get exactly the same thing, except you get plus sign here. Okay. So that's the only difference between A brain and D brain at this stage. Now for the let me just explain what happens for the B brain, because there we know the answer. For the B brain, and also R, okay, which I forgot to say, again, just the fact that the D brain, you have a consistent boundary condition for a D brain, means that R is not arbitrary, but is orthogonal transformation, preserves this Kelly metric. Okay, that's always true, irrespective of whether you're dealing with A brain or B brains or just non-supersymmetric D brains. Now, using this and this, you can see immediately that for B brains, we have plus sign here, R commutes with the complex structure I. Okay. And using the definition of R, you can easily show that this implies that F has type 1-1. So you have a holomorphic line bundle. Now, so that's the right answer for B brains. But I'm not going to do B brains, let me do the A brains instead. So now I will have this minus sign here. So if you plug in, if I use this, then I see that actually R anti-commutes with the complex structure. Okay, unlike the case of B brains. Now I can use this to show that this holds. And actually, it actually works both ways. If this holds, then R satisfies this. Okay. So. I guess I have enough space just to show you roughly how it works. So this condition can be written like this. Okay. So now the procedure is the following. So how do you verify this? Just solve for F from here. Okay. And so F is given by pursue G and R. Plug in here. Are you going to get after using also this, you can rewrite this whole expression like this. And now you use the fact, you want to sort of pull I through all these factors here, and you use the fact that R and I anti-commute. So once you pull I through here, these factors cancel, and they're just left with minus omega. Okay. So that's roughly the computation. Okay. So that's how this condition is obtained. And you can also actually go backwards. If this condition is satisfied, then R anti-commutes with I. So that's on this level, sort of, it's both sufficient and necessary condition for R to define an A brain. Okay.
Where did you say that we use that the brain is not from the whole thing?
Well, R has this form. I mean, in general, you have R has a sort of block form. There's a block going to the normal directions and to the tangent directions. And the normal direction is minus one, and the tangent is this. So, okay, so that's the condition. As you see from derivation, it's valid in any number of dimensions. The essential constraint is that the brain being sort of maximal, has maximal dimension, and wrap the whole X and that the bundle had dimension 1. Okay, now I can ask, what about the intermediate cases when the A brain is neither Lagrangian nor wraps the whole thing? So what are the condition on the submanifold and the curvature? So we weren't able to figure out exactly what the conditions on the curvature are in geometric terms, because somehow we get, you know, you see the metric G or the complex structure I should drop out in the end because we're talking about topological field theory. But we weren't able to formulate the answer in terms of which does not depend on this metric. So I just tell you what the condition is on the submanifold itself, not on the curvature in it. And the condition on the submanifold is that submanifold be co-isotropic. So what co-isotropic means, sort of the dual version of isotropic. So imagine you have two functions, f and g, on x, two real functions. And you have some submanifold in x. So when is this called co-isotropic? So suppose you have two functions such that both f and g vanish on y. Okay. And if for any such two such functions the Poisson bracket also vanishes on y, then the submanifold y is called co-isotropic. Easy to show that the co-isotropic manifold has dimension at least a half of the dimension of x or higher, okay? In agreement with sort of A-brain picture. So we show that any A-brain is a co-isotropic submanifold in the manifold x. And there's some condition on the curvature, which implies that the dimension of this co-isotropic submanifold differs from the middle dimension by an even number rather than an odd number. Okay. Now I have all these weird exotic A-brains besides the Lagrangian ones. And therefore, first you see that they're necessary for mirror symmetry, so you better include them if you want to have mirror symmetry. Second, there seems to be no good definition so far, which encompasses all of them. It would be really weird to define a category whose object can be either Lagrangian submanifolds or line bundles with that condition, or some co-isotropic manifold with some extra condition of the curvature. So there should be a definition which encompasses all of these kinds of A-brains. And that's the most interesting problem here. What is the definition? Well, my personal feeling is, although people may not think it's a reasonable thing, is that just as the definition of B-brains as coherent sheaves or complexes of coherent sheaves was purely algebraic, so I think that definition of A-brains should also be algebraic. That is, there should be some natural algebra, probably non-commutative, maybe DG algebra, associated to a symplectic manifold X, and A-brains should be some sort of modules over this algebra. Now, this may not sound very likely. Let me just point out one sort of obvious thing why, sort of makes me think so. You see, the submanifolds, I don't know about the curvature of A-brains, but the submanifolds on which they can live are always co-isotropic. That sort of brings to mind the following fact from algebra, as you probably remember, so module, if you have a manifold X, it's called Z. If you have a manifold Z, then you consider algebra of differential operators on Z. Then the modules over this algebra are called D modules on Z. And for any D module, you have associated characteristic variety, which is some sort of submanifold in the cotangent bundle of Z. Okay. And one of the basic theorems of the theory of D modules is that characteristic variety of any D module is a co-isotropic variety. There's some other conditions on it, which sort of looks similar to the case of A-brains. So therefore, it seems like you should think of X locally as a cotangent bundle to something. Okay. And moreover, you should consider D modules on this cotangent bundle, or on Z, on the base of this bundle, which means that you essentially must quantize your X, consider its quantization. And that somehow should be related, the modules for this quantization of X should be somehow related to A brains. So that's sort of the feeling I got. And a similar observation was made by Soibelman, who wrote a long paper which explained similarities between modules over a quantum 2-torus and A brains for the symplectic 2-torus, and show that there is a very close parallel in the case when the kilometric, when the symplectic, when the, consider the case when you have both symplectic form and the B field, and consider the case when omega, the limit omega goes to zero, just have the B field. And he showed that in this limit, there's a very close parallel between A brain, there's A brains and objects of the Foucault category, and modules over the non-commutative 2-torus, where the non-commutativity is given by B. So what to do when omega is not sent to zero is not clear. But what I told you, I think, suggests that one should consider the deformation quantization of X in general. But that's it.
You said on a Lagrangian, the condition is the curvature is zero.
If the curvature is zero, then the Lagrangian, then the manifold A brain should be Lagrangian.
Yeah, so there is, just thinking as a differential geometer, I suppose something we could say for coisotropic. It's in between. I mean, if we have a coisotropic submanifold, then there's a portion of the tangent bundle on which the symplectic form is non-degenerate.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe inverse makes sense.
So yeah.
You could demand that the curvature descend to that portion, and then we have that equation.
That could, I think that may be true. I wrote the condition some yucky basis related to the using the Kähler form, and maybe if you can write in the form which is said, which is independent of the choice of this yucky basis.
Yeah, just in simplistic terms.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be the right thing actually. No, I think so. No, I think it automatically gives. Yeah. No, this condition, for example.
Oh, yeah, then I could call it the traffic section.
So, you convinced me that a 4-torus can have a 4-dimensional A ring.
Yes.
And I already knew that it could have 2-dimensional A ring. Can I have a
0-dimensional A ring? No. As I said, they should be coisotropic, so, which means the dimension is middle or larger. That follows easily from this condition on the R matrix.
Yeah, the question. Okay, thank you.